And so today I just want to continue to teach, and we're talking about Jesus is coming again, and this is part two today of that. So if you missed part one, you can go back on our web or our app, and you can watch or listen to last week's sermon. But you can also go back 2 weeks. Actually, I encourage you to kind of tie all of them together. But today, let me pick up where I left off last week, but let me do a quick overview of last week. First and foremost, what we talked about is Jesus is coming again. Yeah. But that thought has two distinct events that can be connected to that terminology, Jesus is coming again. The first event is what might be commonly known as the rapture, or the catching away of believers, or the catching away of the church. And the scripture, once again, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive. How many would like to be part of that alive? Yeah, it really would be a powerful moment. But by the way, if you're a part of the asleep, we all get to meet together and we're alive anyway. Ed is going to meet us in the air. That those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, referring to the previous verse, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Paul also teaches the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking about some of the end times, and here's what he says in verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. Some do, but there will be some who are alive. But we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That's a great passage. It goes on and it gets to that part that you probably heard. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? You know, because it's been accomplished by Christ. And so it's great. The second event, the first being the rapture, the second event is Jesus actually returning to the earth. Jesus is coming again. Also refers to him coming and reigning for 1,000 years. Revelation 26 says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection, which we believe will be us. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Some of you might be mayor of Detroit. It's going to need a new mayor. So is Novi and leadership over Northville, all these places. And so I don't want to get into how, I don't know how all that's going to work. But Jesus is coming again to rapture and to reign. Heavenly Father, this morning we look forward to your return. And as we delve into your word, and help us, Lord, to be people who are watching and who are ready when you do come back. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I posed 3 questions that I wanted to answer, and that was these 3 questions. Will Jesus come again? When is he coming? And what difference does it make? So the first question, will Jesus come again, is really what I spent most of our time on last week. And the answer is yes, he will. And he promised, and he is faithful to his promise. But then we started to kind of look at this next question, when is he coming? Now, no one knows when Jesus is coming to catch away the church, but we do know his second coming happens after the tribulation. So there are some things we do know, but the catching away of the church, we don't know. In fact, Matthew 24:36 refers to it. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. So we're going to go to Matthew 24, and I'm going to be looking at a lot of that today to see what Jesus has to say about the timing or the signs surrounding his coming. So Matthew 24, he kind of starts it off in verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, in the next verses that follow, Jesus gives three significant broad, I'm going to put them in broad terms today, but three significant signs to let us know that his return is right around the corner. The number one sign, and the first sign, has to do with false teachings. Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Jesus answered. This is how he begins to answer their question of when and what and the timings. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah. And catch this part, and what? Will. I want you to see that they might, they maybe, no, they will deceive. And how many? Many. That's kind of a scary scripture there, but that's what Jesus said. Now, church, you need to know, from the first century till now, many people have claimed that they are the Messiahs. Nothing new. In fact, I just want to share with you a couple of recent people who are claiming they are the Messiah. Back in 1990, there was a man named Sergei Taroup. He said, a revelation from God, and he said, I am claiming to be the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. And he's founded a church, and it's called the Church of the Last Testament. Isn't that great? How many want to go to that church? It was concerned me a little bit. There's another man named Wayne Bent. He's the leader of the Lord Our Righteousness Church. Bent founded his church, or this group, in 1987 when he was serving as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. But then in the year 2000, according to Bent, God showed him a divine revelation that he was Jesus Christ. Just letting you know. Jose Jesus Miranda claims that he is the Messiah and he is also the Antichrist. Isn't that great? Jose has had the number 666 tattooed on his arm. His movement is based in Miami, Florida. And in 2007, 30 of his members of his church decided to have the number 666 tattooed on their bodies as a sign of their devotion and love for him. Do you know that people are easily deceived? Isn't that interesting? Apollo, and I won't say your last name right, but Kibeloi, claims to be the appointed Son of God, or the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. According to him, God has entrusted him with the sonship and has appointed him to become the Savior of the Gentiles. He is the founder and the leader of, get this, church, the Kingdom of Jesus Christ, a name above every name church. Sounds great, doesn't it? It's a church that's based in the Philippines, and he has attracted 6 million devoted followers. People will be deceived. Listen, as we near the return of the real Messiah, Jesus Christ and him only, the Son of God, there will continue to be an increasing number of people who want to claim they are the Christ. The Bible says, watch out that no one deceives you. Now, not only are there going to be false messiahs, but there also is going to be an increased amount of false teaching. In fact, it bothers me how far some so-called churches, I'm talking about mainline churches, evangelical churches, Protestant churches, even Catholic churches, how far they have gone in their teachings away from the Word of God. I was just trying to find the whole, the LGBTQ and however many more letters they're adding to it now, churches that are affirming of that, welcoming and saying it's okay. Church, it's not okay. It's against the Word of God. And by the way, so is lying. You see, we can get so hyped up about new movements that we miss the entirety of God's Word. By the way, don't gossip, don't lie, don't cheat. And so there is enough there that you don't need to get all hyped. But listen, we love people. They are welcome. And I still believe God saves and God delivers. people. And so we still believe in deliverance. We believe that God sets people free from sin. And so we're not against, you need to understand, we're not against people, okay? But we're going to preach what the Word of God, because those things are detestable to God, right? And so we need to know what those things are and be careful that we're not deceived. You got to guard your heart in the way you live, and you need to do so with only the Word of God as your final authority. Be careful, just because it has the name church does not mean it represents heaven. Okay? Also, you need to know that with false teaching, there's going to come a false sense of security as the end time comes. The Bible clearly pictures that the coming of Christ will happen at a time when the world does not expect it. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, while they're saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Any of you women ever been pregnant and all of a sudden labor pains came? You didn't know when. You were expecting, but you didn't know when. And that's what's going to happen. So be on your guard. That's why it's important for us to know the Word of God and what it tells us about end times, so that we're not taken in by false teachings. It leads me, though, to the second broad significant sign that's found in verses 6 to 13 of Matthew 24, that our world will also increasingly experience terrible times. They're going to range from cataclysmic natural disasters to an outpouring of evil like you've never seen before. Listen to what Jesus says in verses 6 to 13 of Matthew 24. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but catch this phrase, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Y'all catch that? Stuff's going to happen. But see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many, catch this, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And once again, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of how many? I don't want you to be a part of the most, but the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, to me, it seems that natural disasters really are on the increase. Deadly floods that we hear about, killer hurricanes. We're about to enter the heavier part of the hurricane season as it's approaching. Life-shattering earthquakes, tsunamis, they're all growing in our news reports. Just this past Wednesday, a 6.2 earthquake hit Italy and killed 246 people. Yesterday, whether you know it or not, 105 earthquakes were recorded. In the last week, 693 earthquakes were recorded. 2,796 in the last month, and over 44,000 earthquakes in the last year. Get a clue. As to wars that are going on, only 11 countries in the world are currently at peace. Out of 162 countries, 151 of the world's nations are currently involved in some form of conflict. And that includes the United States of America. You know, well, we're not having war on our land. Oh, we're at war. And church, I don't know how many do we need 11 more countries to go to war? It's happening. And coupled with natural disasters and the wars and how many unknown rumors of wars which are out there, the Bible also tells us there's going to be an acceleration of unbridled evil. I want you to hear from Paul in 2 Timothy 3. And I want you to hear this. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times, and what's this word again? Will come. Not might, maybe. It's part of what's happening. Realize it, that it will happen in the last days. And here's what he says, verse 2. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. This one just irks me because TV portrays TV dads as stupid and dumb. Why do you think our children are struggling with how to treat their parents? It's what they're being taught. And that's why, men, we're trying to train you, and ladies, we're trying to teach you. We can rise up in the family, and we can have healthy families. We can have healthy families. But you need to know what's going on in the world. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. I'm not picking on this young generation, but I'm picking on this young generation. There is a movement of entitlement that many of you had to have little homes with two bedrooms and a bath. And now this next generation is like, well, I need 4,000 square feet, and I need my four-car garage and my riding lawnmower. And I'm telling you, it's like, well, wait a minute. You guys worked to get what you have. And the problem is there's this entitlement. They're ungrateful. Not you. You're here. No, but church, it's happening. And unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. You can't even do good today without somebody like, why are you doing that? What's your purpose of doing that? And it's like, can't I just serve? I still hold doors open for people walking through, not just ladies, but like, be kind, just be good. But I've had people, I'm holding the door. They're like, no, I'll get my own door. So be it. It's out there. You can't even hardly be kind today. Treacherous, reckless, conceited. I'm like, Paul, aren't you done yet? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Church, we are Pentecostal, and we're not going to deny the power of the Holy Spirit at work still in the church today. Because what does it say? Avoid such men as these. Church, society is breaking down. Families are falling apart. Chaos is increasing in our world. Listen, things may be bad, but there is a worse evil that is yet to come. Jesus says in verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. That should not be his church, his real church. Right now, it might seem that this tolerance movement, you know what I'm talking about? And love is strong in the world. We're getting along. Let me tell you, that is a false sense. Do not be fooled. Our enemy, Satan, is behind all of it, and we are moving closer every day to the return of Jesus Christ. Those first two signs, in the broad sense that we've looked at, are negative, false teaching and terrible times. But in verse 14, there is a positive precursor that also indicates the return of Jesus is close at hand. Sign number 3 is good news. Listen to Jesus as he tells us in verse 14. And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Isn't that exciting? So many times we get lost in all the negative. Let me tell you, wake up. There's good news. Jesus still saves. The word nation in this scripture doesn't refer to political boundaries again or entities, but to people groups. And as we approach the end times, there's going to be a marked increase in the tempo of world evangelism. And by the way, it is happening today. There is a renewed interest in communicating the good news of forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. There is a sense of urgency in the church that needs to penetrate the whole world with the life-changing message of Jesus. And it's happening today. There are reports from China. China, the gospel of Jesus Christ is growing faster in China than anywhere else in the world. And there are almost 4 billion people there. And the gospel is going out. In India, Latin American countries, Africa, you are seeing unprecedented church growth today. As people are hearing about Jesus, they're responding to the grace of our Savior, and they are being saved. God doesn't want just everybody to hear and have a chance to hear. He wants people to have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. 2 Peter 3:9, you've heard it many times. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's the heartbeat of our Father. So, church, it's important that we do not lose the sense of the importance of sharing the good news of Jesus with our family and with our friends and anyone that the Lord may put in our path. Also, we need to continue as a church to send missionaries to the fields that we cannot go to. And I would hope that all of us would be stirred to want to tell more people about the gospel and the hope of eternity with Jesus. Now, I know there's a lot of false teaching happening in our world. I understand that immorality and evil may seem to be on the rise, but at the same time, the good news, the gospel of Jesus, is changing lives around the world. It's touching hearts, and it has the power not only to touch around the world, but right here in our own communities. Amen. So let's don't be shy about our faith. Let's be bold, but do so with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's sense Him leading us at the right time to share with those around us. It's called your own personal world evangelism, and you do it as the Spirit of God leads you. Now, in verses 15 to 28 in Matthew 24, Jesus reveals some specific events that will take place just prior to His return. And then in verse 29 to 31, he speaks of his return and it to the earth with great power and great glory. But I want to take a moment as we kind of wrap up and focus on the last few verses of chapter 24. This is really where Jesus addresses the question of when. And I want to consider 3 facts about the timing of his second coming. Fact number 1 is this: we can recognize and sense the season, but not the precise moment. Listen to verse 32 and 33. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things that he's been talking about, you know that it is near, right at the door. The fig tree, the story, is a truth from nature. When leaves begin to come out in the springtime, you know that summer is near. By the same token, when the signs that we read in Matthew 24 begin to take place, and they are, then we know the return of Christ cannot be far off. And church, it's not far off. No one will ever know that precise moment. He tells us again in verse 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So the best we can do is read the signs and know that the time is at hand. And if anyone ever tells you that they know exactly when Jesus will return, do not believe them. That person is either a false prophet or just seriously deluded. Okay? No one knows. Fact number two, Jesus will return at a time when the world is completely unprepared. You heard Pastor Grant talk about this in Matthew 24, verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Here in this passage, Jesus makes a very simple comparison to the days of Noah. What was it like in the days of Noah? Business as usual. While Noah was patiently building the ark and warning people of the coming judgment, people laughed at him and said, "It'll never happen." Noah's day was just like our day. It's a day of skepticism. Ah, Jesus, he's not really coming. And moral relativity, that they just want to believe whatever's right is right for them and not hear about judgment. The more Noah preached, the more of his contemporaries mocked him. They refused to believe that there would be a worldwide flood. It's not possible. And for years and years, life continued without change. And with each passing day, Noah looked more and more like a fool than the day before. But finally, the heavens opened one day, and the rains came down. And when Noah entered the ark, I'm sure his friends began to pound on the door and say, "Noah, we're sorry. You were right. We were wrong. Open up. Let us in." But it was too late. God had closed the door. Just like the flood brought sudden judgment to the world, the return of Christ will do the same. When Jesus returns to the earth, you need to know only believers are going to be preserved by God. Unbelievers will be left and will have to face the horrors of tribulation and judgment. Just as the ark saved Noah and his family, even so Jesus Christ is the ark of safety for those who believe in him. We are hid in Christ. Fact number three, we are called to be ready because Jesus may return at any moment. Listen to verse 42 to 44. "Therefore, keep watch." I've said all this stuff, but Jesus says, listen carefully, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. So you want to understand something? Understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Two main commands in this scripture: keep watch, be ready. Keep watch, be ready. How does a thief come to your house? Unannounced. After all, if you knew he was coming, you'd be ready for them. But thieves rarely ever call and make an appointment in advance. Church, Jesus is coming again. And it could be when you least expect it, unless you keep watch and be ready. One final question I need to answer for you this morning is, what difference does it make? I personally believe knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again can transform the way we choose to live. And that's what makes the difference. First of all, I think one of the differences is, number one, we begin to encourage one another. Jesus' second coming is not meant to make us apprehensive or terrified. In fact, he says, don't be alarmed. Paul the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians 4, after some lengthy discussion about the rapture, the catching away of the church, Paul points out that comfort comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is coming back. And in verse 18, he challenges us to do something with that when he says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So we need to encourage. The message of Jesus Christ ought to fill us with tremendous excitement. These are great days to be alive. So let's encourage one another and also completely commit and fully engage, passionately involve yourself in kingdom living. Church, this is not a time to play games, because there is something else we need to strive for also, and that's number two, live pure lives. Here's a good question to ask yourself. When you might be involved with something that might be questionable, would I want to be doing this when Jesus returns? Remember the old WWJD bracelets? What would Jesus do? Well, what should you be doing when he returns? Church, I don't want to live my life ashamed of doing things that do not represent Christ well in this world. 1 John 2:28, John writes, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. Church, we need to live as though he might come today. If you knew that Jesus was coming at 8 p.m. tonight, if you knew that, what would you do differently today? What changes would you make in your life? Church, you need to live as though he's coming. I've had to work with my own kids, and I know they have to make decisions once they step out of my home. But you know what? When it comes to movies and things like that, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be sitting with Jesus and listening to the filth at movies, and he shows up. I question that. That's why this is important for me to live a pure life. It's important for me to be aware of this, because I want to make sure I'm ready. And finally, number three, ask Jesus to save you. Pastor Matt, would you come? If you've never turned your life over to Christ and received his salvation, then I want to appeal to you with all my heart this morning. Be reconciled to God before it's too late. 2 Peter 3, 9 to 11, the New Living Translation says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Now listen to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Church, the consequences are way too staggering, and the stakes are way too high to not respond to the grace of God. Eternity is far too long to live without the presence and the peace of God. So let me say this as clear as I can. If you have never made a decision to put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be in deep trouble when Jesus comes back. Your judgment will be certain, it will be swift, and it will be severe. So please, do not be left behind. And you do not have to be. Jesus right now, through his Holy Spirit, is seeking a relationship with you. And you can respond to him before it is too late. You ask how? Romans 10 teaches us, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is coming again. And I pray that your heart and your life will be ready for His return. This morning, I am concerned for your soul. I don't know if He'll come today or tomorrow. I don't know, it could be years. That's not my concern. In fact, He tells the disciples, don't worry about that. Why don't you receive the Holy Spirit and get filled with the Holy Spirit? Go be my witnesses. Church, it's not that we shouldn't know about it, but I've got to know my purpose. And my purpose today is to share this truth with you, that He is coming and there is judgment ahead. And that's why your soul needs to be saved, so that you do not face that second death. I cannot save you. There's nothing I could do. There's no works I could ever do. My preaching cannot save you. My sharing of God's word cannot save you. Your parents cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. But there is a Savior who paid a price for you by going to the cross and shed His blood for forgiveness of sins. And all who believe and call on His name will be saved. If they believe He died and rose again, and then confess Him as Lord, you're saved. And each of you need to make that decision in your own heart. I wish I could do it for you, but then it would not be your decision. And so today, I'm going to simply ask, we're going to bow our heads in just a moment, and I'm going to simply ask, balcony or main floor, for you to examine your own heart. You know whether or not you have a relationship with Him, or you know whether that relationship is shaky, or you know if you do not care about it at all. You know where you stand. You know that. But you need to make a decision today. I know I really can't imagine anybody walking out of here saying, I don't believe any of that. I'm telling you, you need to. You need to. Jesus is coming again. Would you bow your heads? Balcony or main floor, I'm just going to simply ask, if you'd like to receive Him as your Savior today, the one who died for your sins, He paid all the price. All you have to do is put your faith in Him today and confess Him as Lord. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, and then you can slip it right back down. Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone? I'm just looking around. You contemplate it. Really in your heart right now, where do you stand? In first service, there were four. This service, it doesn't matter if it's one or four or 20 or whatever. I just don't want you to leave without knowing that you're saved and you are safe in Him. Is there anyone else? I'm just glancing over the balcony. I'm looking across the main floor. And I'll leave that with you. I want you to pray with me with this one that did. And I want you to pray and just re-solidify your decision to serve and have faith in Jesus. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Jesus, Your Son. Today I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for rising from the dead. I believe you are my Savior, and I confess you as my Lord. And from this day forward, I choose to live for you and bring you glory. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Church, the seriousness of the nature of what we're talking about is of utmost importance, but not just for you, for your friends, and for your family. And I will be believing and praying for the church at large, but I want your family to not miss out. Ed today, Ed Smith, is dancing in heaven, if dancing is allowed. It's in the Bible, so it's okay. But church, he's coming back, and it's going to be important that you're ready and that you're watching. And so church, we're going to be talking about things in the days ahead. Next month, I will be talking about grow. We need to grow. This is a point we got to move forward, right? And then I'm going to come back in October, and the Lord's really put on my heart that we're going to begin to walk through some of what we believe. Our first and most important thing, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That's where we land everything. And I'm going to walk through because I want you to know where we stand. I want you to, because I don't want you deceived, because many will be. Be careful not to be around that group. And listen, don't follow me. You hear me? I'm not your Savior. In fact, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The very moment you don't see me following Christ, man, you go up for somebody who is. You go back to that Word. Listen, I'm striving with everything I got. I'm trying hard. But I'm not perfect. But church, I'm telling you, in this hour, in this day, the church needs to wake up and really know Jesus is coming again. So Father, I pray that you will help us this week to live for you. And Lord, that we really would have Jesus-filled weeks. Holy Spirit, we surrender our lives. And Lord, for this lady and those in first service, I pray, Lord, you'll strengthen them and help them to grow and be who you've called them to be. And we give you thanks for all your blessings. Amen. God bless you. Do have that Jesus-filled week. Live for him. See you next Sunday. God bless you.